Welcome to Grief Matters, a podcast that features conversations about life and death, hosted by Lori Opitz, Director of Bereavement at the Joseph T. Quinlan Bereavement Center. No subject is off limits and no topic is taboo. Please submit your questions about anything end of life, dying, death, and grief to KarenAnnQuinlanHospice.org/griefmatters.
Hello, everyone. Last week, I spoke a little bit about disenfranchised grief, which is the grief that we experience when we don't feel that our loss is acknowledged or sanctioned or understood. And this week, I'd like to spend some time talking about ambiguous loss. And sometimes ambiguous loss can be disenfranchised also, that people don't understand or we don't feel we have the permission to grieve these losses. But ambiguous loss is a topic all in of itself. And what it is, quite simply, is when a person is physically alive, physically here, but psychologically absent, or they're physically absent, but psychologically present. Let me give you a couple of examples. For someone who is physically present, but psychologically absent, it could be with dementia, if we are caring for a parent or a spouse who has Alzheimer's or other dementia, then we have the person physically present for us. We can talk to them, we can hug them, we can see them, we can touch them. They are alive, but they're not the person that we remember. They're not the person that we knew. There's something missing in them. And we mourn for that piece of them that's missing. Also, with a mental illness situation, you may have raised or married a wonderful person, but the mental illness has deemed them different or affected. And maybe it's very traumatizing to deal with this person whom you love, but don't like very much because of what's happening to them and with them in the relationship. Also, with a traumatic brain injury, again, the person's right there in front of us. They haven't died, but they are not the person that they used to be or the person that we remember. In the case where the person is physically absent but psychologically present, some examples would be if someone's in jail, they're not physically around, but they're on our hearts and minds. Or again, with addiction, they might have run off or be missing, but our hearts are worrying and hoping and praying for them. In divorce situations or runaways or in the military, these are all examples of someone who's physically absent but psychologically present. And the problem with these kinds of situations is that we're not quite sure what we're feeling, but we're doing a lot of feeling. They're not dead, so it's not that kind of mourning. It's not a definitive loss that is forever, because in ambiguous grief, we're not sure if things are going to improve, if they're going to stay the same, or if they're going to worsen. So we're always hyper-vigilant. And what is it going to be like today? What is it going to be like in this minute? What is it going to be like the next time I have a conversation with them? We are always on high alert and with an elevated stress level as far as the relationship goes. It kind of freezes the grief process. It lets us know that there's a loss of some kind, but there's still hope, or there still might be progress or answers or relief to the situation. We may fluctuate between feelings of feeling happy with the relationship and content with the relationship, and then it just goes off the rails and we don't know what's happening and what's going to happen in the next moment. So again, we are hyper alert. Our stress level is on constant alert. That is not a healthy or comfortable place to be. Handling ambiguous grief is tricky, but it's doable. Trying to be real about the relationship that you can have with that person is important. It's okay to hang on to hope, and it's okay to say, I don't really expect anything to change. I expect that it will either always be this way or be worse, but I'm good with that. I'm still going to just be a supportive presence. Also, we need to remember that different situations can apply. We can love them and not like them. We can hope and pray for them and separate from them. They can be part of our family and be absent. So the truth may be a little bit different than you might want it to be or what you have dreamt it could be. But accepting the reality of the situation and what's possible and not possible in this kind of situation is important. With the situation of Alzheimer's, we can hope that there'll be good days and lucid days and moments where we find a laugh or a memory that returns. And we can also mourn what we're missing about that person. Both things can happen. And we can be realistic and know that it's not going to get better and yet still love what we have. So it puts us in between different kinds of truths. It's important to be able to understand that the relationship has to be identified in a new way, not the relationship of our dreams, but the relationship of reality. We need to connect with others who are able to listen to us, to be a witness to what we're feeling, or who are in situations that are similar to our own, so we know that we're not alone. And we need to be able to find meaning and pleasure, regardless of what life has thrown us, regardless of how bad the situation seems at the moment. Meaning and pleasure, purpose, that's what keeps us putting one foot in front of the other. We need to have a bag of tricks that we use when life gets stressful and overwhelming. And we need to be able to reach into that toolbox or bag of tricks, whatever you call it, your coping strategies, and say, all right, right now I need to take a long walk, or right now I need to lay down, or I need to talk to a friend, or go to church, or take a bath. Whatever it is that soothes and nurtures and heals your soul and gives you comfort and support in the moment, that's your best choice. And no one can make those choices for you. What feels good to me might not feel good to you. So create your list of things you can turn to, things that you can benefit from and nurture yourself with if you find yourself in a situation where you're dealing with ambiguous grief. As always, thank you for listening, because grief matters.
If you would like more information on any grief or bereavement issues, including options for counseling, please feel free to call us at the Joseph T. Quinlan Bereavement Center at 973-948-2283, or you can contact us online at copewithgrief.org. Please remember to subscribe to the Grief Matters podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.